Hey, how's it going? I'm Brother Matthew, and I'm in Southern Ontario, Canada. I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Lord has done a lot for me in saving me out of the darkness of witchcraft and occultism. Now I serve the Lord in showing the power of God.
Amen. Well, thank you, Matthew, for talking to me. You have a very dense story. There's a lot of things that happened to you, a lot of things that I think people will be interested in. So I'm excited to talk about it. Let's start where it begins, actually, even before it begins, because I know your parents have a big role in your story, and it's actually quite important to understand who they are and what kind of family you grew up in. So, can you give us a little bit of context on what that was like for you?
I remember growing up when I was younger, life before my parents got saved, and I was just a little kid, 5 years old at the time. My parents got saved in 1990. Yes, I'm old. I'm older than Google. I grew up with four brothers, and when they got saved in 1990, we were immediately put into Christian schooling, fairly soon after that, into Christian schooling. And so growing up in that, and my dad immediately was called to be a preacher, and we went off to Bible school in New Brunswick, and for 3 years as a campus kid there. So the point of that is immediately from young age, thrown right into the knowledge of God, knowledge of the scriptures, attending the Sparkies, the Awanas, the kids clubs, the youth groups, all the stuff. I grew up in the church, I can say, because it was very young age when I got into that. Like you're saying, that was vastly instrumental in bringing me to the Lord later on in my life. It was a very tight family, very close, still are. I still give a lot of credit to how my parents raised me in the fear of the Lord in that.
How old were you? You said that you remember when your parents got saved. When did that happen?
Again, 1990 is when they got saved. It was actually a beautiful story on that one. Is there was a lady in our town, the town we were living in, Hanover, Ontario, and the late this lady, she was our my family's babysitter. Well, she was a Christian. My parents were not at the time. They didn't really want anything to do with God, all this stuff. They had their own beliefs and stuff at the time. But this lady, Lorraine, would come over, and just every time she would be talking to my parents, every time she would have a testimony of something that the Lord answered a prayer, the Lord did this, the Lord provided this, how the Lord did this. And she just kept planting the seed, just constantly, 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 constantly. And as my parents say it, is when the time came, they didn't call a preacher or a priest or anyone else, they didn't call the church, they called Lorraine. Because they knew she knew what she was talking about. And so they called her that night, and she just came right over, put her Bible down and says, "Okay," and just walked them through the gospel, and both my parents got saved right there. And it was amazing. But just planting seeds. There's just they're not just speaking the gospel, but living it.
Well, thank you, Lorraine, for the work that you've done. So you talked about being extremely involved in the church, obviously your dad being a pastor. How big of a role did it have, or how much importance did Christianity have when it comes to you in your, early years to early teenage years?
The thing is that being a younger age, if I can say this, I didn't know what I was missing out on, in regards to all the entertainments and things of the world, because I grew up in the church and grew up on this stuff. So, and being put right into this and all of the youth activities and church, other stuff. So there's this whole molding of everything is this is what framed my mind and my understanding of reality is everything in concept of Christianity. Now, with that is, as I'll explain, later on, is the difference between actual understanding and having the knowledge of is I knew there's being trained about this, there's a God and Jesus and the cross, all the stuff and all the stories in the Bible, and that they're apparently true. You know, I had the knowledge of all this, and this is constantly being taught to me and spoken to me. And so there's a, the framework of Christianity was very powerful in my upbringing. As everything in our home after that, because my parents, they took it so seriously, the faith seriously, you know, because from their background, I don't really want to get too much into their background, but very spiritual and all this stuff. So they, and a lot of dark things that they came out of. So they really latched onto this and really took it so seriously. And they tried to imprint that taking the faith seriously aspect. And so everything that we did, like, for example, I remember as a little kid, about 6 years old. Okay. Now imagine you're 6 years old and your dad comes in the house with this stack, yes, I'm old, VHS tapes, movies, and beta tapes, even older than VHS, and just stacks them up. And he brings in a couple axes or hammers. And he says, okay, boys, destroy them. We're like, what? What are you talking about? We thought he was joking because, you know, you don't do this, right? And he's like, no, we need to get rid of these. These are all these shows. All these movies are bad. They go against God, against the Bible. We need to get rid of them. So here, and he hands us it was hammers. Sorry, not axes. It was hammers. And he's like, smash them. We're like, are you sure? He's like, yeah. So he just went to town on them and just smashed them all to bits. And that the point is in instilling upon us how these things go against the Lord. And what you do with things that go against the Lord is you get rid of it. You don't excuse it. You don't look for loopholes. You just get rid of it if it goes against the Lord. And so, like, those things have always stuck with me.
That's I appreciate that story. Thank you for sharing it. You did talk about having, you didn't use the word sheltered, but that was kind of all you knew, and you didn't know much. You weren't exposed to the world, I think is the way that you said it. Mm-hmm. So how were things when you did become exposed to the world, usually around high school, you know, mid teenage years, how was that for you?
Well, I remember, you know, when you get older, you go to town or the mall and all this kind of stuff, and you start seeing things in the world, and it's because of the upbringing. Yeah, it's shocking seeing the level of godlessness out in society, and just the immorality that's out there, the language, the cursing, the blasphemies, all this stuff, just the lack of care about things of the faith, and it's just surprising and all that. But for me, it didn't hit me the depth of that, of what the world was like outside of the faith, until I got old enough to get a job. And that's when you start spending hours alone with people outside of the faith. And it's just that was more eye-opening for me than anything, because then it's not just, you know, hearing or seeing things passing by. You're now there, and it's constantly on you and all around you. And it's learning how to just handle that. It wasn't really so much as till I was old enough to get my first job.
So let's get to the point that I think would be the turning point of your life. And it has to do with martial arts. So mm-hmm. How were you introduced to martial arts, and why did you find that so appealing?
I'm going to sound like such a nerd. I was, again, about 6-7 years old. It was back in 1990, around there, as when the first movie Ninja Turtles came out. I was a little kid, and me and my older brother, we got our allowance, and we walked across town, and he's just a few years older than me, and we walked across town, and we bought our tickets, went in to watch the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And as a little kid, you know, the first thing I've ever seen like this in the movies is just like, so I've always wanted to be like that. Always just that kind of, you know, that thing. And so it always appealed to me, the fitness of that. And there's that sparring, all that kind of boxing, wrestling never really appealed to me, but the whole, you know, martial arts aspect of, you know, karate, taekwondo, kung fu, that kind of stuff, is that I always loved the look of it. And there's the action of that in the movies and everything. So I always wanted to get into it because of that. So I blame Ninja Turtles for it. But yeah, but it that also really stuck with me, because as I was got up and I would be going to, I did go to public school for a little bit, but never really worked, because I had some learning disability, attention deficit issues, ADD, and so I had this classroom. Public school didn't work for me, so my mom would have to take me out, and I was homeschooled a lot. I went through severe bullying. So martial arts really appealed to me to help defend myself. Now, there was one public school I was going to for a bit, that every day there was a group of boys, five, seven of them, that would hunt me down every single day to beat me up. Every day. I would hide in the library every recess just to keep away from them. And so learning how to defend myself. And so my older brother and my dad would also show me stuff to help defend myself in this. And it just got to a point, it just couldn't handle it. So they just took me out. But yeah, so martial arts has had a big impact on me for a couple different ways.
And we'll get to why we're talking about this, but it's actually very important. When I first heard about your story, this was a completely new thing for me. I had never heard of a spiritual side of martial arts. When I think about martial arts, and I think when most people today think about martial arts, you think about karate, you think about UFC, things like that. So how did you learn about the spiritual origins of martial arts?
Well, it wasn't until later on, my mid-teens, that's when I got my first computer. And I was able to go on the internet, and it was mostly when my parents weren't around, because I knew that they didn't really like certain things. So I would research and look online about martial arts, and I kept coming across different things about the internal energies, chi, ki, or all these different things. And so, and then this kind of got my attention at what exactly is this? Because I was at the point of studying and going to different dojos and stuff, and studying these things as, okay, I read about, but what is it? Because you see in an outline in a book or whatever, okay, you to do this move, or they're talking about this. I'm a visual. I have to see every step and everything about this to really grasp, understand, okay, what is it? So how does it work? Re-engineer it. So now I'm reading about energy, you know, so, okay, I thought, you know, at first, you know, that's just, you know, you're put into the move. No, not quite. And so, okay, look at the origins of these things, go to the actual sources, you know, like in Kung Fu, go back to, like, how did the teachers, the masters teach these things? What do they describe? Okay, what is that? And started clicking that it's more than just strength and power, or just locking your body in a certain way for the kinetic energy. It's not kinetic energy. It's something else. It's force of will, how to say it. There's different ways to explain it. And that's when I really started researching different approaches, different explanations, started putting pieces together, and I started seeing, okay, there is a spiritual aspect. And at first I'm like, because you know, my upbringing, but at this time I'm not saved. I don't have the spirit of God in me to give me conviction to these things. So it's more of just, I know my parents don't like it, so maybe I shouldn't, but then that's something else is enticing me. Well, just maybe when they're around, because curiosity really started to get a hold of me. And I started looking into chi energy, also known as ki energy, and how this works. And so they started giving some basic tutorials of how to build up, how to start. To be able to detect, sense, and be able to start exercising your chi. And so look at different approaches, different styles. How do they do this? And research and studying have always been a big part of my life. And so I started doing a lot of research and studying on this and how this works. And that was very eye-opening.
I want to ask you about this before we move on to anything else, because I mean, obviously, this has been a long time ago, and I'm sure that you've learned a decent amount about this. But even back then, you were researching. For people like me, and I'm guessing most of the audience that doesn't understand how martial arts came to be, do you have examples of the history and how they became a thing?
martial arts. Martial is military. This is the every clan, every tribe, every country has their own fighting. Martial arts is the way of the martial practices of the military means. Like if you look at Korea, the way of their fighting style, you look at different Chinese and different kung fu styles. Japan with karate and stuff, they have their fighting styles. These are the original fighting styles in the military. This is how their country learn and teach to defend themselves. Self-defense and for war, for conquest of the stuff, they go into military and they go out and fight. That's how it was originally designed. It wasn't just some like we have today. This is their means of actually fighting each other in war and self-defense. This is a very real thing. Movies, of course, Hollywood is crazy and has always blown things out of what they actually are. But it's in the name. If you do a study on the name, martial military, and that's what that stands for.
And we talked about some spiritual aspects. We talked about chi. Is that all martial arts, or is there specific ones that have these origins?
Yeah, there are external arts, internal arts. There's the hard hand, soft hand, many different kinds. Like Aikido, for example, is a soft hand that uses internal energy. There's a big, heavy emphasis on this. But within every style, there is, you call it a sect, where you can just learn just the physical means without the internal aspect. The internal being the chi energy linked into it. That you can practice karate and you go through the moves and the punch and the kicks and all the fighting stuff. And then there are variants that you can attach to that to learn how to focus your chi to be able to do certain breaking exercises or other kinds of other stuff. There's the iron body technique in Kung Fu, where you can learn just the physical moves and stuff, or you can learn the internal, how to concentrate your chi, called the iron body, where I have seen examples of it, where they actually take spears or stuff where literally your skin cannot be penetrated. And this is also not just that, but there is the stone shirt meditation practice in some Native American shamanism, where if you contact in your service the spirits of the stuff and you go through a certain ritual, there are war chiefs that have gone to battle where they are shaking out the musket balls out of their clothes afterwards because they cannot puncture their skin. This is it's all ties in together in the same thing. It's just different countries have different names for the stuff, but what it is take, you're literally linking occultism to a physical practice. That's what it is. Chi is not just kinetic energy. It is martial art occultism that's taken in. So you punching, kicking, self-defense, that's a whole separate thing. There's nothing wrong with self-defense. There's nothing wrong with just going through the motions and learning how to punch and kick and all that kind of stuff. But it's when you cross that line from just the physical exercise and the movements to the occultism aspect.
I've heard some of these things before on the show. Actually, if people have watched the episode from Chobi Xiao, he was in the Chinese mafia and they would do tattoos on themselves. And some of the people, when they went into battle, their skin wouldn't be pierced. So that's actually not the first time that I heard about this. When it comes to you, were you interested in a specific art, karate, for example, or was it really the chi idea that really interested or intrigued you the most?
Well, it started as that with the martial arts stuff for personal reasons of self-defense, because I had determined that I'm never going to be bullied again, that they're not going to be able to do that to me again. That's the mindset I had with it, is I want to be able to get to a point where I'm not afraid of anybody, and not that I'm going to be dangerous or anything, but just that I'm not going to be abused anymore like that. I'm not going to allow it. Like I to a level of confidence. That's what I was looking for, because I felt no confidence in myself whatsoever because just all the things going on. So I just crave confidence and self-confidence. So to be able to walk without being worried about someone else might say or do to me. So that's why I was learning that. And martial arts is very good in learning how to care for yourself in that way. But you got to be careful because obsessions are wrong. You got to be careful about obsession. But I became obsessed with it. I lived it. Dreamed it. Breathed, eat, and slept martial arts. It was my life. But yeah, when I started catching on to this other side, this started really taking me away from just the physical aspect, and started really redeveloping my approach and my understanding of how everything worked. And that's what led me into some of the dark arts side of martial arts. In the Japanese, is Kuji and Kujikiri, which is black magic within martial arts. And I started researching these things, different approaches of this. Some people will immediately shake their head and think I'm nuts of that because, you know, anime portrays it. Where do you think the shows in anime, where they got influenced by that? Because of the history of these things, they didn't just make it up for the show. There's the history and the lore behind this, and they took that and put that in, you know, for entertainment. So everything has an origin. So you look at that. So I started looking into these things, and that's where it really got me into aspects of ninjutsu. Yes, I know it sounds weird, but it's, again, it's dangerous fighting styles. Because again, you know, because my background, I've been so traumatized by bullying as, you know, now my mind is, you know, now I would be able to hurt them, you know, with certain fighting things. And, but the, within that, I've seen techniques of chi and chi focus, kuji and kujikiri, and meditations and stuff, which I have a little bit of a story on the meditation thing. That really pulled me into this. And I just reading about it, I was very skeptical. Some of the stories and the documentation some people had regarding it. And so that's why I'm like, okay, as a visual learner, I have to see it to believe it. I hear all this stuff, but is it really real? Because there's a level of deniability. If it's just, you're just hearing it, but it's when you actually see it. And that's okay. But I had that from what I was being grown up, because my parents don't know I'm doing this, because I knew how to control my computer and delete my browser's history and all the kind of stuff. And they could never catch on what I was doing. So I was afraid of them catching on, because if they caught on, I would be in so much trouble. And so I doing my own research and started bringing this stuff in and just reading about it and getting myself to a point where, okay, I'd be willing to try. And that's when one of my first was in meditation. And when I was meditating, I had a book on Aikido, and it's about meditation on this stuff and about the introduction to it and how to get into it. And this is one of my first realizations of the power of this. I sat and I started doing the thing, and as the instructions, nothing, just feeling tired, there's nothing. And then all of a sudden, I felt a force. I was just sitting on my bed and cross-legged, and I just felt the force just come on me, and I went like ramrod straight in the bed. It wasn't me. It's like you close your eyes, what you're seeing, it's my vision went down into my chest. And in my chest, there is a fire. And as soon as I saw this fire, it threw me right out. And I was much like that. And I was like, what is this? What's going on? And that woke me up. That scared me. And I walked away from it for a little while. But it's just, and I'm like, okay, maybe it is real. And that is like, okay, if that's real, then the physical stuff is not as relevant. Because this stuff is more powerful. And that's what the spirits that was trying to tempt me into this were getting me to think and how to realize. And that was one of the big first steps into the world of occultism. And seeing, okay, because if this stuff is real and you can master this. Yeah, that woke me up.
Yeah, because you said you were very skeptical, but that would really throw all that skepticism away, having an experience as tangible as that. When you first started doing martial arts, you were doing just the physical stuff. When you started implementing chi and, you know, what you just talked about, how much success did you see? Did it work right away? how much would it work when you implemented the two together?
Well, this is this right here, excellent question, because what a lot of people don't understand is that it's not like idiot Hollywood, where, you know, any kid can go around and pick up a little stick like a wanding and immediately move stuff around like Harry Potter or whatever. The world of the occult is a religion. You advance and grow in it by how much you put your faith in it. The more you show your of your faith, of your desire, and your effort in, you are rewarded. So when they see that you're dependable, that it's not just some blowing, passing whim, you know, just kind of interest kind of thing. It's not just a hobby. But when you become a disciple of this, this is where they start to reward you bit by bit, to entice you, to bring you along, and you start growing, you start advancing, you start getting more and more. It is a religion. It's not just a hobby and interest in the kind of thing. That's why not everybody can really do certain things. But if you look at individuals who live it, it's their life and they believe it. And this is what, then you start to see advances, things start happening. With the chi, you've heard of what's called the chi ball. Of course, anime and all that, they take it and they steal that and they run with that. But where do you think that came from? Well, one of the exercises was to manifest chi ball through meditation. And in some cases, it literally becomes visual, but it often is more just physically tangible. You can literally feel the actual force of it. And I used to be able to manifest it to a point where with one person, I did the meditation and I produced it. I told them to stretch out their hand. And they did, and they literally felt it. I'm like, describe exactly what it was I had. They could feel the actual, this strange gravitational, magnetic, static force, like feeling thing. And it was real, it was spherical. And so this is one of the meditational practices, within that. And it is very real. Of course, you wouldn't believe the amount of people that are skeptical on that and will mock that and stuff, but it's real. Because a lot of times, many people don't want to believe that these things are real. That it's just fun and games, it's just silly, it's just cartoons, it's just shows. Where do you think all these things got this information from? Where do you think the stories of witches and vampires, all this stuff came from? Because these things are real. Not like how Hollywood portrays it, of course, but these things are real. Everything comes from something. And that's where it really started with my eyes to this. Okay, then these things must be real, of what I've been hearing and seeing. This is that there's a history. And that really started enticing me and pulling me into deeper and deeper into the lore and all the practices, all these things. And that, yeah, and an understanding and growing of this, that it's a learned religion. It's not just a practice. It's not a job. It's deeper than that. It's when you be, like I said, you become a disciple of it. And you take it seriously and you put your faith in you, this is where you start to get to reward it with more and more advances and more techniques and such.
We'll get into how that developed and how that discipleship, that religion developed in you, because that's a really big part of what happened to you. But I have a couple questions to stay on this topic for now. You talked about the intersection between martial arts and meditation and things like that. That immediately made me think of the Shaolin monks. I think that's how you say it. Do they do things like that? I don't know much about them. I know that they're sort of famous around the world for the things they do. Do you know about that side of things?
Oh yeah. No, yeah. The Shaolin, they have a private face and a public face. Now, I never trained with Shaolin monks or any of that kind of stuff or whatever, but I've done a lot of research on the materials, on their history and all this kind of things. And I've seen a lot of behind the scenes, and I've listened to a lot of them talk about their testimonies, their discipleship and other things. And there's a lot of stuff they put on for public when they put on their demonstrations. A lot of it is play acting. Of course, you know, they are the acrobat stuff, and it's just amazing. But a lot of the things that they do, like the bricks, there's a powder bricks, and the spears, they're designed to bend, and all these kind of the blades are dulled, but because it's for show. But there are times and events behind closed doors in their training when they're doing their deep training, the deep study, the deep focuses, that yes, they start to bring in real things. There are the sword ladders for one, like razor sharp blades. It's tied to poles, and you climb up and down the sword ladders, and you don't get cut. And different kinds of things. This is all to focus their chi and to focus the energy and all this stuff. And yeah, it's real. And then they start to learn these kind of things. This is for when they're later on. Not, this isn't just for, you know, newbies. These were those that are well advanced. They start to get into these kinds of things. But yeah, a lot of that is real. One of the things that I could do, one of the practices that I learned from a master, showed me the technique and how to do, is I would take a paper towel or a Kleenex, I'd get it soaking wet, I ball it up, completely soaking, dripping wet, and I'd ball it up, put it in my hand, and I would focus and concentrate in meditation, and I'd feel my hand heat up, and steam would start to come off the thing, and I could actually dry out the paper towel, but because it's real.
Well, thank you for answering that. Like I said, I've never heard of this intersection. I've done a lot of things with people coming out of the occult and magic and things like that, but I was not aware that this was a thing. But it makes sense, you know, with the claims, and it makes sense with the lore of these monks and others that I had heard before, that it comes from somewhere. Another question on this. So I think most people have seen videos of like masters, quote unquote, online, just being able to knock people over with a finger. And I know a lot of that is fake. Yeah. Is there truth, or is that all charlatans when it comes to this?
Those guys that do this stuff, the fake chi, fake stuff, a lot of that is just straight up nonsense. But there are some groups where you do see these kinds of things, and I would, from my personal experience, I'll put it that way, as I don't want to broad brush or whatever, speak out of turn regarding others, but from what I have seen, what I have learned, what I personally have experienced, the technique in Western mysticism is called spiritual vampirism. This is what one of the things that I had practiced, and this is real. I was a security guard, for example. I was a security guard in one job that I had, this large resort. We had a big security team. There were numerous different bars, and so we had the ballistic vests and the handcuffs, attack gloves, and all this kind of stuff. And our to deal with people who are acting up, fights and whatever on the resort, right? Well, I got a call over the radio that there's a fight outside of one of the bars, and I get over there, and I can see my supervisor is dealing with a guy who's extremely aggressive and violent and all this stuff. And my supervisor is trying to talk him down, trying to calm him down, but this guy's just escalating, getting worse, and looks like a fight is about to start. Well, I'm walking up, and as I'm walking out, I reach up out my hand, and I start concentrating. I got to a point I could just manifest stuff like that, and I concentrated, and I reached out, and I stepped right between the supervisor and this guy, and I put my hand on his shoulder. I just looked him square in the eyes, and I just said, calm down, and he just went like that, just completely drooped. I just lost all will, everything, and he just crumbled under my hand, just limp, just standing there. I'm like, you're done. He just kind of like in a trance, he says, I'm done. And they come with me. I'm coming with you. And he just turns and walks with me. And I just walk him to the taxis and send him home. The idea behind that, because once you understand, and this will make sense for everything for you. Chi energy energy. You know, when an individual comes walking in the room and they're really, really worked up, and you can feel the atmosphere off of them. The energy is the atmosphere of demons.
So we've talked about martial arts a lot, but that was just the beginning of your journey.
Yeah.
And that transitioned into things that are much more intense. And I want to start diving into these things. How did your practice go from a kid wanting to defend himself with martial arts to what it became? So what was it for you in the next few years following that?
I've always been curious, a very curious type. I was the one of the kids, you know, it's like, why? You know, I had to know. I wanted to know. And I was very curious. And as I was always... there was always a joke about me as growing up. I was either going into trouble, I was in trouble, or coming out of trouble, ready to go back into trouble. That was me, because I'm always getting into things. And I was just everywhere, doing everything. I was curious about everything. And so curiosity is what really drove me about these things. And especially being young, and I had a very active imagination, and seeing things or hearing things like this would just grab my attention, because it's different. This is interesting. And so was one of the big things. And so seeing that there's this and that it's real, that really pulled me. But again, like I said, because I wasn't saved. I had the knowledge of, I wasn't saved. I didn't have the internal driving conviction of the Spirit of God in me to tell me that's wrong, don't do that, or to influence me. You know, maybe you should go and I didn't have that. I just had the, if I can call it, the indoctrination of Christianity, of the knowledge of. I didn't have the internal driving desire and conviction. So because I didn't have that, it was easy for my curiosity to be taken advantage of. So I no longer was being physically bullied. I was being spiritually bullied, and I didn't know.
So we've been talking about Eastern mysticism. You said Eastern and Western, you know, Eastern being sort of Asian kind of things, Western being more Europe, and I guess North America now. How did you transition from Eastern mysticism, martial arts, to Western mysticism or Christian mysticism?
Yes. Well, the Eastern, with the Asian, because of the martial arts and all this stuff, I experiencing this and looking into all the different styles and all of their practices and stuff. I remember it was the one day the thought came across my mind, because it wasn't until at the end when I realized that these ones that wind up becoming my familiar spirits were kind of throwing the little nuggets, the little temptations, little thoughts in my head, just to kind of steer me in a direction. And I remember it was the one day that thought just came across my mind that if Eastern mysticism is like this, and it's just vastly misunderstood, that is it possible that all of what is called witchcraft, wizardry, and all that of the Western world is just Western mysticism that is misunderstood? It's just the titles, just the names that was given it to kind of scare people. Because if you can do all these things with the Eastern and look at what they call the claims are of the Western, it's just the same thing with a different name, isn't it? So these thoughts are just going through my head, and I'm thinking, I'm sitting there like, huh, maybe. And so I'm like, all right. And so that immediately, for me at the time, broke fear bias towards the name witchcraft, all these things. Those are just the titles given to these practices. That's just literally just Western chi, right? That's all it is. Okay, so I just ignored the titles and just looked at, okay, the claims of the stuff, and you see a lot of similarity between the Western and Eastern. Just the focus on all these things, it's just there's a different approach to it, but it's the same thing, achieving the same outcomes that you're looking for in the Eastern. So all because it has a different name doesn't mean it's a different thing. So that's how my mind went and how I was reasoning with myself, how I was convincing myself in regarding this. And that there opened the door to the whole Western world of what is now known as witchcraft.
Can you give a few examples of the similarities between, you know, martial arts, occult, and Eastern mysticism? How is that similar to witchcraft and, you know, wizards, the things that we hear more here in the West?
I have to be careful with this. It's focus of will. I see something that I need. I'm going to be very just succinct here. I see something that I need, an outcome that I desire. I concentrate on this. But once you understand that chi is not my energy, I'm producing a thing and shooting out a thing. that's Hollywood. What it is that the more I develop a rapport of severity, of faith and intention in this, the spirits see that I'm someone who's taking it seriously. And they will start to work with you. And they start to, and this is the learning process, why it takes so long, because they learn your quirks, your manners, they learn how you think, how you move, all of your, that, your character, all the stuff, that they start to know how you, what you would be interested in, what you would want. So when you start to think and you open up yourself so that they can start to hear your thoughts and you hear your mind, that when I reach out my hand to do the thing, they know exactly what I want and they do the thing. That's witchcraft. That's chi. It's the same thing. It's just in the Eastern, they don't use wands. So in the Western, there's a lot of tools, there's a lot of approach, there's a lot of flamboyance in the Eastern, not so much. It's more of self and focus, all this stuff of developing the internal chi. But in the Western, there's a lot more of outer. So, but when you start to see the similarities there of its reach of will, its reach of desire, that's what they call it, the projection of will. That's the spirits know that this is what I want done, and they carry it out. Like I become a commander, and you develop a relationship with them to such a level that you don't have to tell them; they just know what you want. You just reach out, and they know exactly what you want, and they do the thing. But to you, they make it feel and sense. They know how to develop the sensations and the feelings, all this stuff, so you really do believe it's you. You have no power. You have no energy. You have nothing but spirits pretending.
So I want to talk a little bit about Christian mysticism, because this is the point where you got interested in that. Obviously, you grew up in a Christian home. Your dad was a pastor, so that was a familiar part of your life. But now also you're getting drawn into this occult side of things, and now starting to get into the Western side, at least being interested or being open-minded to what we would know here as witchcraft. How did you make the shift from that to being a Christian mystic? And what did you do when you did become that? You know, what did your life look like at that time?
Yeah. This is where I started in the Western thing. At the same time, all of this is going on. There was, even before, and I was looking into the dark magic kind of stuff in the Asian, that there was a level I purposely would not cross. Is I still, even in myself, felt that the black magic stuff is wrong. I didn't want to touch the black magic, blood magic, any of that kind of stuff. Even when it's over in the Western, I didn't want to think of devils. I didn't want to think of witches. I didn't want to think of that kind of. So the